welcome. It is time for another episode. Like, we have been doing this for so long. I look forward to it. Every couple of weeks, we're talking with someone amazing, whether they crossed our path, whether it has to do with what Feeding Tampa Bay has going on. It's all relative and timely for the moment. I love it, right? Don't you?
Yeah, it's great to get all these different perspectives from all these different people that are part of our world, part of our community, have so much knowledge. It's very cool.
It's super cool. So our guest today that I'm going to introduce, I've worked on a number of wonderful PR projects with this amazing woman. And through our conversations, I mean, it was kind of things like made me want, wow, what? So I am so excited to introduce Janice Carr from Tampa Well, which is Tampa General Hospital. Feeding Tampa Bay is involved there, and also Florida Blue. Janice, welcome to Stick a Fork in It.
Thank you. So glad to be here with you.
So you and I have met a number of times. Ev, I believe this is your first time meeting Janice.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, girl, you're a farmer.
Oh, would have thunk it, right? For an organic farmer. That was not what I went to school for at all.
So I want to start our journey on, are you from the area? Are you from Tampa Bay?
I grew up in Tampa. I was born in Kansas. There's no place like home. And my journey from Oz led me here to Florida when I was 9. So I grew up here in Florida, and I've been here ever since. I moved away after I went to college, got married, and came back at 40 with 4 children and a husband. And that's how my journey began again.
So tell us about your family really quick.
Yeah, so I have 4 children. My oldest is 24, 2 boys, 2 girls. My youngest is Lauren. She is 13 in middle school, very much so. And my son, I have another son, Jaden, who is, he is in high school. And my oldest daughter, she is in college at Florida State, my alma mater. So I'm very excited about that. So out of the house, working in school, out of the house, then 2 very much in the house. So they keep me young.
Isn't that the truth? And Ev, I knew you'd love her. That Florida State mention just kind of, Janice, if you don't know, we are a Florida State podcast host. Yeah. Yeah. And it always just, the beauty bubbles up every time, almost every time we have a conversation. So you just briefly mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
The one who becomes me, makes me, is my husband. And we've been married for, I always say, honey, tell him how long we've been married, because not because I forget, but just to test him. So we've been married for 27 years, and it has been wonderful. We met at Florida State, and we began our journey together there, and it's been awesome. We've been many different places, and we are so happy to call Tampa home again.
Well, congratulations. What a beautiful, long, wonderful relationship you have. And I know that's a testament to your kids, right? You guys are icons for your children. Whether they want to admit it right now, they will in the future. We know that for sure, right? Having that strong family bond. So you mentioned really quick, we talked about Florida State, but what was it? What's your degree in? What was your focus back when you were in college?
Very interesting. My degree is in communications from Florida State. My track was media performance, and my minor was in journalism from FAMU, because we had a dual program in journalism. So I thought I was going to be the next Oprah Winfrey, or at that time, the first Janice Sperling, which was my maiden name. So that was my track. I was full on into it. And I interned at CNN Miami the last year of my degree. And at that time, that's when 24-hour news was just starting.
Yes.
We had a really hop-in branch because our team got sent out to the nearest things. And so I saw a lot of things, and eventually got married and decided, like, man, I want to make these children my everything, and I have no idea why. And I became a stay-at-home mom. 14 years.
Wow.
So that stay-at-home mom, somehow you got into gardening. Talk to us about that. Like, you went from the next Oprah
What?
Having babies, and this helps lead us into the fabulousness that is you.
Yeah.
Gardening, how?
The shock my husband lives with all the time. Like, I thought I was marrying one person, and then this other person evolved. But honestly, my journey began because I was sick and tired, and I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I was also sick and tired of people close to me dying unexpectedly of many of them chronic illnesses, and many of them illnesses that, as I researched them, I found that they were preventative, and they were preventative by health. So at the time that this was going on, I had all these little bustling babies that I was nursing to life. They were getting all of their nourishment from me, and I needed to change what I was eating so that I can give them the best start possible. And I had this idea that, maybe I can get fresh vegetables from like a farm where you can just like pick it up from a farm. And I went into a health food store, and they had a pamphlet for a CSA, community supported agriculture. And you do go and pick your vegetables up that are harvested fresh that morning. You get them that day, and you get it for the entire harvest season. And they also have like YouPicks so that you and the children can go out into the farm and not know what you're doing and pick all this wonderful stuff. And that really changed the trajectory for me, because it just was food in a different way. I had such a love for everyone that like grew our food and being outside, and it changed everything. So that was my first experience with organic food, organic with farming, much larger than a garden, but that's what started my career really in farming.
So when
So
did you
when did
go
you go
from
from
harvesting and going to local farmers to thinking like, well, I can do this. I got this, right? And then I know what goes on every vegetable. I know all of the things to create this healthy harvest.
Yeah.
What caused you to go bigger and how big did it get?
Oh my goodness. So first I just thought about how green, like novice I was when I started that CSA. I would get all of these vegetables and I had no idea what to do with this. Like, this is not iceberg lettuce, tomatoes, or cucumbers. And so I would ask so many questions like, what is this and what do you do with it to find out how to do it? But when we moved to Florida, I was looking for a CSA again, and I went to the CSA here. There's one in Tampa. It's called Sweetwater. They have been around for many years. I went there and started speaking to one of the interns there. And I was like, how do you sign up? And do you have any volunteer hours? Because I had a lot of time on my hands. She said, actually, if you become an intern, if you do 8 hours of volunteering, you can get a free share, love free food, especially when it's organic. And you can get it for free. So I became an intern, was volunteering for 8 hours, and then eventually they were like, well, hey, if you have some time in your hand, what about being a part-time like farmhand? I was like, well, what does that mean? It's like basically what you do now, but you're able to have a certain amount of hours and you're able to do that. And still get the same experience. You still get a share. So I started to do that. And I started maybe within 6 months of me starting to intern, I was assistant manager of the farm because I ask a lot of questions. I manage a small estate is what I call it, the Carr family estate, my children, everything that has to do with anything that. So I was used to coordinating people, personalities, making sure tasks got done, and they really needed that at the farm at the time. So I became assistant manager in 6 months, and in 9 months I was really within a year, I was the farm manager, and I became a farm manager from there. So I learned hands-on the owner of the farm, Rick Martinez, saw me twining tomatoes, and they were a bush. It was like a 6-foot bush of tomatoes that I was twining into this wonderful roll. So, and he saw me fighting with it and doing it beautifully. He thought, you know, can I teach you how to use one of our machines? He put me on the biggest, oldest machine doing the dirtiest job, which was shoveling all of the elephant poop into making it into compost on a loader. And the loader didn't have brakes that were that good. And we were right off of a little, not a cliff, but where you can fall into a little swale if you're not careful. But that hands-on approach, dealing with the biggest machine, doing some of the hardest jobs, being willing to do it, and being so like hungry to learn about like, man, I don't know why I'm thinking this is fabulous. Now, I did look like I was, I don't know that you can recognize me except for my height when I was wearing it. So I had everything covered up because I had no idea what I was doing. And I hadn't yet learned how to be comfortable being soiled. But it was the best experience for me. I learned so much there by asking lots of questions by students, farmers, people who had been in the business for a long time. And so my motto is that really, I love to share what I know, but I love even more when people share with me what they know, because then I know more. And really, that is what catapulted me along my journey, being organic farmer and farming small and urban farms. And then to now, like the whole reason why I got into it is to grow food for people who are sick and tired of being sick and tired and who have limited access or no access to fresh fruits, vegetables, food that is life given to their bodies.
So how long were you at Sweetwater Farm? Was that from you jumped straight into TGH where you are now?
So I was at Sweetwater Farm for 4 seasons, and then I went to work for another farm in Parrish that was commercially owned. We had a very wealthy philanthropist who had restaurants on Anna Maria Island. There were resort restaurants on Anna Maria Island. He wanted to create a sustainable system, so he bought an organic farm, and he wanted to create an organic, a sustainable system where all of the food and waste from the restaurant came to the farm. We churned it into compost, put the compost onto the crops. Those crops that were produced were the things that they used in the restaurant, and it was a very organic system. It also had where we used the vegetables to create product also. So we were trying to limit waste. And we also did a farmer's market or a market on Saturday that showcased some of the things that we grew and then also some of the other things. So that last, the two of those together, those two experiences is really what led me to where we are here, is knowing how to have those different systems, how to deal with the community, how to grow food, and then growing the food for a specific purpose to get it out in a timely manner. So I think those two came together for this opportunity.
Yeah, and I've been, like I said, I've been around, working around you at Tampa Well, and you are definitely absolutely perfectly suited for your space there. I mean, it's just amazing the work that you do. Tell us a little bit about Tampa Well.
So Tampa Well is activated by Tampa General Hospital. We were birthed out of the Community Health and Wellness Department, which is in charge of making sure that everyone in the community knows about the different services that we have available. And so they do that through any type of events that may happen. They offer classes from the physicians and specialty areas that we have to let people know, listen, we have this service, it's available to you. Would you like to have more information about it? So it's a way to get us out in what we do to the community, but also so that we can serve the communities that we're in. And so Tampa Well was a nonprofit organization established out of the Community Health and Wellness Department that is just community facing. How can we make the community that we serve better and the families that are there better? So when we went into it, we wanted to reimagine what it is to for wellness. You know, how do we support wellness and health within our community and also have that impact those in the community that come to our, that are our patients? So this is how the community garden and the food pharmacy came about, because the areas of focus for Tampa Well is very simple. We want to make Tampa Well, and we have targeted three specific areas, which is movement, so important. You've got to move, work the muscles, get in the sun, get out, but move. And then positive mental wellness. This is so important because it manages every decision that you make. And those decisions determine what you do, and those things determine how well you are as well. And then, of course, nutrition. You need like nutrition, not only food, but nutritious foods to feed all of those core areas. So that all came together with the Tampa Well Community Garden and the food pharmacy.
Well, and I think what's wonderful too, I think, you know, it continues to expand this area that is located in a historic neighborhood. That folks in that neighborhood have maybe struggled a little bit. And this is really putting some amazing vitality into this community. When I'm there, they are so proud to come for their food. Of course, first their medicine, meeting with their doctor, having that doctor write a food prescription, which that's where we work together is the food pharmacy. But what I think is amazing is that garden, you go out and fresh, cultivate the food, fruits and vegetables that are herbs that are in that garden, and you put them in the food pharmacy to share with everybody. And what I think is really great, we've talked to patients, which I want to get to, but I've been there when community members just walk up to volunteer to help their neighbors. How well is that going, that collaboration? Because you're right in the heart of an amazing community.
Yeah.
That you're really lifting not only their better health, but their pride in their community. It's just wonderful.
Oh, Shannon, I love the way you said that. Like, I am in the heart of a wonderful community. I had a conversation with my daughter, and I said, so what does that determines whether or not someone has value? Is it the way they look? Is it what their talent is? I said, you know what determines whether or not someone has value? It's that they're alive. They're people. They have value simply because they've been given life. And so in this community, one of the reasons why we chose 33610 in East Tampa is because we wanted to find an area that had the greatest area of need that we can have an immediate impact in. And so this area of East Tampa and 33610 is where we already had Health Park. Health Park is like full service. It has family care. It has OBGYN. It has specialty OBGYN. It has specialty pediatrics, and also specialty, which is be like wound care, anything you would need where you need to go to a specialist is offered there. So it's a comprehensive unit. But when we looked also at the numbers of, you know, what people were diagnosed with, there was an large amount of that constituency that was suffering with diabetes, prediabetes, hypertension, and obesity. So that is why we zone into those areas for the food pharmacy, that if you have those conditions, your doctor can refer you to the food pharmacy. That referral gives you a prescription for 6 months to come in every week and get fresh fruits and vegetables and healthier shelf stable items. This was key. Because we were not able to do that without Feeding Tampa Bay. Feeding Tampa Bay has that weekly, having that much food, be able to impact our patients was very key. And what we understood is that even though in the garden we're growing food, we don't have enough to be able to feed a person and their families every week, but we can supplement it with the things that we grow in the garden. And we can also add a layer of like understanding and impact by that every time they come to that visit, they walk through that garden, they see the bees buzzing, the flowers blooming, yeah, the things, they see the collards growing, that once they get into the food pharmacy, oh, this was grown in the garden, they take it home. And so it's this added element to increasing food and fruit, to increasing vegetables into their diets, that starts to like ping all these new taste buds, and it starts to change their palate, and they're more acclimated to those things. So they're trying more of them, they're incorporating more of them when they're shopping and they're not in the food pharmacy. So these layers upon layers are really starting to change things and change how people are, and change people's health, like one experience, one opportunity, one bite at a time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to give you kudos because we all need encouragement,
yeah,
right? You are encouraging an entire community. Like you said, the fact that your impact, just because you're alive, every single person has purpose, meaning, and they're alive. But a lot of folks just need encouragement, right, to get there. So we have a number of times met a guest of yours who has told his story so beautifully and eloquently, Mr. Dallas, who is an amazing man. I'm going to let you share a little bit about Mr. Dallas's success. I know you talked about changing someone's palate, that it kind of, for that healthy approach, you need to kind of be patient and explore to change your palate, and to be satisfied with it. So use Mr. Dallas as subject matter and walk us through the journey of having a food pharmacy available.
So Dallas is one of our patients. He is a male, which is so important, particularly just because the way disease and hits men is quite different. They're used to being set in the way they do things and being and staying in that place. But things had gotten so serious that Dallas had to have a kidney transplant. And that changed everything for him. It was a very serious procedure. It was successful, but it really woke him up to a lot of things that he needed to change some things and incorporate more fresh fruits and vegetables, not eating the way that he was and changing that. So him coming started to change a lot of things. I think one of the things that he mentions that is the little things that we don't pay attention to, but just how his skin changed and how his energy changed, especially after such a, it's really a traumatic, wonderful procedure, but surgery really goes in and changes everything. So your body has to rehab, adjust, all of those different things. And so that journey with just being able to have access to that on a weekly basis was a very integral part for him. But also with the introduction of the garden, it being in the community garden, Dallas remembers that, wait a minute, I come from a family who has like a green thumb. I remember things growing. He's growing things in his own garden where he lives. He is in an apartment complex that actually has a community garden, which is awesome. And he is one of the few people who actually uses it. And he's growing his own food. But just seeing the change in him and even the energy in him, the first time he came into an appointment, he was just coming off of a procedure that was, there's a couple of different procedures you have to do after the transplant. And he came into the pharmacy still because he's like, no, I'm not going to miss the appointment, because he understood how important it is. But his stride has changed. His eyes, the electric in his eyes has changed. His attitude, just even in this short period of time, I've seen the changes that have been building upon since that he initially had that transplant to now. And I'm just, excited about the continued growth. He's an awesome, he's one of actually many, but he's an awesome, he's got an awesome testimony.
When I spoke with him, what I thought was amazing is he's the head of a multi-generational household, right? He has grandchildren underneath him. And I think part of his pride is his personal health, but also being an influence for his children and grandchildren. And it's given him a renewed energy, right, to live and improve his life. And you can just look at him. Ev, if we can possibly put the link, I'm going to talk about, we have an interview with him that maybe it'll be a link in the description for the podcast. But we're really excited to celebrate a huge win with you guys in the food pharmacy, because we only can do this together, right? We provide the food and you help provide that nutrition to the people that need it most. But we won a huge award, the Florida Blue Sapphire Award, which gifted Feeding Tampa Bay $100,000 to further this work and food pharmacies and making sure that Mr. Dallas and all of the people that we serve through our food pharmacy programs, you know, get that extra and get that wonderful attention and get that personal lift and all of the things. So, you know, for that, I want to thank you, Janice. I believe where you're at and what you do is so absolutely pivotal, but it's also really unique. And I hope that opportunity continues to expand throughout Tampa Bay, where we can really be leaders in health and nutrition in our communities.
Amen. You said that so well. I love that you brought that point up, is that really his example is changing the health legacy of his family. And that really is the point, is that what ignited me to change was my children, but that changed me. That changed my children. And it's also changing my mom and dad and my parents, my husband's mom, who had diabetes, hypertension, and now they're excited about kale salad. Yeah. I'm like, Dad,
are you excited about kale salad?
You know, shockingly, as much as I'm not a veggie person, I do like kale, you know.
You know,
we have to get Ev on the path.
You know,
join it. Yeah. I got a quick recipe. So good. Just garlic, kale, lemon. Mmm. It's so, so good. If you like garlic, you'll love it. If you don't like garlic, I got another.
You have a whole book, you know.
Get on the kale.
Yeah. Also, you know, collards is like this wonderful superfood that is very, very much known in our community, but there's a stigma behind it because some of the meats that go along with it over the time. Being a farmer, I understand how it has changed, how meat has been grown, and those components in it and how it's been grown is really what's affecting it more than the collards. But the collards themselves is a superfood. It has proteins, minerals, all those things. So kind of bringing back those things, how to prepare them differently without some of those things that have been congestive, and then how to try them, you know, creatively, like, you know, peanut butter and jelly rolls with collards. Don't knock it till you try it, just saying. But also,
wait a minute, stop. We got to give a little gift here. Peanut butter and jelly rolls with, do you blanch the collards to where they're softer or they cook? Talk to me. What is this?
So when you constantly harvest a collard from the bottom, which is the oldest leaves, they stay tender because new leaves come from inside. So when you do them, when you harvest them weekly, it allows them to grow bigger, stronger, but the leaves stay like wonderfully tender. So if you take the stem out, where you almost bend it in half, take the stem out. You have two different sides of the collard, and take that collard, one side of it, put a nice, I call it a nice, maybe crunchy butter, almond butter, peanut butter, whatever you like, and a really good jam. Recommend that jam does not have high fructose corn syrup, but put a jam in it and then roll it up like a, kind of like a wrap, like a sushi roll, and roll it all the way up and bite it. I'm telling you, it's nice. It's tasty. When you grow a crop of, like, you know, 500 feet of collards and there's like three or four of them, you find all of these wonderful things to do with collards that you hadn't thought of. They're great charred. on a cast iron skillet with a nice egg to your choice. I like mine over easy so I can get a little quick hollandaise sauce from that little runniness in it. I'm probably freaking some people out with that. I love it in lentils.
No, I think this
lentils,
is amazing.
Sweet potato and collards is a wonderful high protein and meal with lots of nutrients. So collards with Vidalia onions instead of the meat. You can saute those onions in really nicely in the water before you put the collards in. It gives it a nice sweetness. That's a great way to eat. Just so there's all kind of things you can do with kale, collards, turnip greens, and things that grow very easily in pots or in your own garden. So you can start to grow your own food, which is one of the other elements of the community garden, is that the second phase, we are in, the first phase is where we have all the garden beds, but the second phase is to have an education pavilion so we can have classes on nutrition, cooking classes, how to grow your own food, how to take care of your garden, seasonal gardening. So we'll be able to offer various different things to help people grow their own food, introduce them to new opportunities to change their family's health legacy.
I find it interesting. I actually have planted a number of vegetables in a side yard, right? Collard greens being one of them. They're actually very beautiful. In a pot or in your yard, they look like they're supposed to be part of the flora of your yard, mm-hmm. but you actually can trim them. I'm trying the peanut butter and jelly on kale today, and I'm going to report back to you, Janice. Janice, I want to thank you so much for joining us for Stick a Fork in It. You are just continue to be a wealth of knowledge. We're so thankful for TGH and the partnership to have you come on board and chat with us. I hope to have you come again as you launch more things. We have a Dr. Tanjua Sharma, who is integrated medicine, that joins us regularly as well. Dr. Sharma, she changed my life.
Awesome.
And see, I think talking to you can also help change my life and others to really be patient and really explore fresh fruits and vegetables in your diet.
Yes, Dr. Sharma was instrumental in what we're doing now. And I just have to say that Tampa General and just being innovative enough to even conceptualize this, because I call us the hospital of ones. We have lots of number ones in all the different services that we offer. And we have extraordinary people on our team that save people's lives. I mean, it's an awesome group, but that they would think so mindfully of a community garden and a food pharmacy is just the bringing together of those things. I'm just so excited about being involved in this project and our partnership with Feeding Tampa Bay. I have lots of ideas for us to continue to grow and continue to serve the communities as both of us do. And I so thank you, Shannon, for this opportunity. It has been so great to meet you, Ev, and have some time with you all. Both, and I look forward to our future partnerships and just the future with us both. So thank you so much for having me.
Of course, and be sure to put us on your guest list the next time you launch. I know that that pavilion is under construction. I would love to come out and help share the news, but Ev is amazing photographer and videographer, and he has an amazing team that we can come capture that pivotal moment as that space grows for that community. Thank you. Best to you. And we look forward to another visit in the future.
All right. Thank you so much.
You can learn more about Feeding Tampa Bay and how to join the movement at feedingtampabay.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and TikTok at Feeding Tampa Bay.